Hello everyone, this is the first episode of our podcast, Be Happy and Achieve Your Goals. My name is Arnaldo Fiallo, and I would like to invite you to come with me in this spiritual journey. Our first episode will be about the power of words and the influence words have in our lives. This podcast was inspired by a book that I've been writing for the past 2 years, titled Be Happy and Achieve Your Goals. My plan was to release this book after the book was published, but in a lot of the circumstances and all the craziness that we are going through with the coronavirus, I've decided to offer this podcast as another coping tool to help us come out stronger out of these dark times. But this podcast is not going to be about the virus or the current situation itself. As a matter of fact, I would like to invite you to take advantage of this time and work on yourself. Some of you may be going through a rough time, maybe because you have lost your job or your business is suffering or a family member is sick. But take a moment. Take a moment and breathe. And be sure that this will pass too. This is not the first challenge that you have faced in your life, and trust me, it will not be the last one. Live one moment at a time, live day by day, stop thinking about the future, and remembering the past. Remember that the future is not here, and the past is already gone. Just listen to this podcast and be present. Try to enjoy it. So the worst thing we can do in a time of crisis is to overwhelm ourselves. Feeling overwhelmed would not improve the situation. On the contrary, it will cloud your judgment and will make you miss opportunities, and you will fail to see solutions that could be in front of you. I'm not saying that this is easy, but I'm sure that you can do it. And I'm also sure that you will come out stronger, and not only stronger, but better prepared to face any future challenges. Now, I believe that in order to achieve this, it's crucial to be mindful of the words that come out of our mouth. Remember that our words have power. Almost every religion and culture around the world recognizes that our speech has power. As a matter of fact, according to the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. If you accept that God is the most powerful being, then you should accept as well that words are powerful because they are the same thing. Also, according to the Bible, God created the heavens, the oceans, the earth, and every single creature that lives on it. So, God formed men from the dust of the ground and breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Like, without God's spark of life, we wouldn't be what we are today. We would be just a bundle of bones and meat. Remember that God created humankind in his own image. So this passage of the Bible clearly tells us that we have the essence of God. We are powerful as human beings. So if you believe that God created everything just by speaking it, so can you, because you are part of God. In Hinduism, words are so important that Hindus have kept the original mantras and hymns and rituals almost unchanged for hundreds of years. Even when most of those mantras and hymns were passed through oral tradition and written centuries later, the words and the content of those mantras were kept incorruptible. Hindus and Buddhists recite mantras to destroy bad karma for protection or to connect with God. In the Vedas, which are the primary texts of Hinduism, composed about 1,500 before Christ, explained the power of words or sounds. In the Vedanta Sutra, there is a phrase that encapsulates this truth. Anavriti Sabdat, which means, by sound vibration, one becomes liberated. Hindus have been very careful not to change the metrics or the pronunciation of words because it could bring disastrous consequences. There is a story in the Vedas, the story of Saptha. This man hated Indra. Indra was the god of thunder and the king of all gods. So this man went to perform a ritual so he could have a son that will kill Indra. And part of the ritual required him to do some chanting. And while he was chanting his prayer, he made a mistake. And instead of asking for a son that will kill his enemy, he asked for Indra to kill his son. Even though the story is aimed to teach people the importance of correct pronunciation of the Sanskrit, it could also be used to show the power of words. I mean, this man could bring a person into existence just by saying it. But this man changed the destiny of his son by speaking as well. So words are like bullets. It doesn't discriminate between friends or foes. It's just they come out of our mouth and they just hit targets. They don't understand who's your ally and who isn't. As our Lord Buddha said, words have the power to both destroy and heal. We also have the example of Jesus, who was a great healer. Jesus performed many miracles through his words. He ordered people to come back from the dead. His friend Lazarus, he made people walk. He restored people's visions. He exorcised demons, all by his words. And most of these miracles only happened after he spoke. And you might be thinking about these powers were reserved only for ancient people and Jesus, who is the Son of God. But we possess this power as well. We, as I explained before, we have God inside us. We also have the story of the creation. According to the Hindu tradition, when Brahma was to create the universe, he did not know what to do. So he was, thinking about how to create the universe. And he heard the word tapa, which means to sacrifice or penance. So this first sound was the trigger of the creation of the universe. So words are the beginning of everything. Thoughts do not come to life until they are spoken or acted upon. And I've seen the creative and the destructive power of words many, many times. I believe that words can modify your life. I've seen people with a very negative pattern of speech, and they constantly struggle to achieve their goals and to get ahead in life. And I've also seen the other face of the coin. I've seen people very positive with a very positive speech, and they achieve their goals easier. I'm not saying that they don't have any obstacles or issues to overcome, but they do it in a more gentle way, and they are able to do it way much easier. But speech is not an isolated element of our personalities. We must pay constant attention to how we feel physically and emotionally. Our speech could be positive or negative, also depending on our mental attitude and the way our bodies feel. A positive and rested and optimistic attitude leads to a creative and more confident speech. When we are worried, we cannot see the solution sometimes, even when it is in front of us. And especially when we see a solution that doesn't make sense to us, we immediately assume that solution is wrong. The way that we are wired, if it doesn't make sense to us, this must not be good. And then we start to curse our future by talking about how big our problems are, how it will be impossible to overcome the obstacle. And the more we talk about how we cannot achieve it, the hardest it gets to even get closer to that goal or to resolve that issue that we might be facing. So remember that our brains are command centers. Our brain executes our commands. Like if you want to move your right hand, you give that order to your brain, and then your brain send a signal to your right hand, and then your hand executes that order. So if you start saying this economic problem would be my ruin, or I cannot pass this exam, or I will die of this illness, trust me, you have very good chances to make that speech a reality. Your mouth is commanding your brain to stop making the effort, to stop working because your business is already doomed. You will fail the exam anyway, so what's the point on studying? And if you are going to die, you might as well go to a funeral home and buy your casket. So speak positively, even if you have doubts or are a bit scared. Do not say out loud your fears or your doubts. When you feel tempted to say something negative, change it. Change it for something more positive. Even if you doubt it, it doesn't matter. Go ahead and say something positive. Remember, your brain is listening to your commands. If you say that you will find a solution, that everything will be fine, your brain will try to find a solution to this economical situation. And if you say, I will pass and I'll be healed, your brain will work to find a solution. It will enhance its capacity to absorb more knowledge, or will be sending signals to your immune system to get stronger and to start working. One of my favorite passages of the Bible is the story of Zachariah and Elizabeth. Zachariah and Elizabeth were the parents of John the Baptist. And Zachariah was a priest, one of those few pure men that could enter the temple of God. And Zachariah was elderly and childless because his wife couldn't bear children. And one day while he was offering incense to God, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and was delivering a message from God. And the message was basically, you're going to be a father. You and your wife Elizabeth will give birth to a son, and your son will be very important among your people. And instead of falling into the ground and thank God for hearing his prayers, Zachariah started to question the angel's truthfulness. And like I'm sure like many of us would have done, he started to question the angel. How do I know that this is true? How do I know this is possible? I'm an old person. I cannot have children anymore. And I'm sure that many of us can identify with Zachariah's situation. Chances are that we do exactly the same thing. Even before we can receive such a gift, we already are rejecting it. Like Zachariah did with his narrow mindset. He did not allow his brain to accept this extraordinary blessing. By this word, Zachariah was already dooming this event not to happen. And because the angel realized that Zachariah was going to sabotage this blessing with his lack of faith and being manifested through his negative words, the angel took Zachariah's speech away until his prophecy came to reality by saying, now listen, you will not be able to speak until the day these things happen, because you did not believe what I told you, but they will really happen. So Zachariah was mute until the day of the birth of his son. And every time I read this this passage, I wonder, like, how many times have we sabotaged many blessings that we were meant to receive, but we turn them down because of our negative words and our lack of faith. So let us start accepting the things that God wants us to have. Somebody told me once that ideas and dreams and projects that come to us are just little peaks that God allows us to take into our futures. But what if the first thing most of us do is to doubt and to kill that idea instantly? We'll be missing on those wonderful gifts. I mean, the first thing we start to do once we have one of these great ideas is to talk to ourselves, like, are you going crazy? Like, this is going to cost a lot of money. I'm too busy to do it. And in the case that you are brave enough and you let that idea live, once you go and you tell to another person this idea that you're having, that person will kill it for you. So be careful. Be careful who you share your visions and future plans with. And even if you don't believe in the esoteric quotation marks or the more spiritual power of words, I hope you believe in the practical and psychological power of words. A couple of minutes ago, I commented that I've seen the destructive effects of words. So I would like to share a couple of stories with you, so you can see. Hopefully, you can see the power that words have in our lives. The first one is about one of my uncles. He was diagnosed with cancer when I was about 11 years old. The news was very shocking to the whole family. I mean, my uncle was relatively young, and in my family, people don't die of illnesses. In my family, everybody dies of old age. So it was a shocker to us to learn that my uncle was sick. But everybody was surprised on how he embraced the illness, and he assured us that he would be fine, that we have nothing to worry about, that he was going to come out of it and come out stronger. So he needed a couple of surgeries, and he did the treatment and all of that, but he never stopped working or being himself. He went out with his friends and shared time with his family and all of that. And for several years, he was fine. But one day, he went to the doctor for his routine checkup, and then the doctor sat down with him and informed him that the illness came back, and this time was very aggressive, and that he probably was not going to make it. So the doctor told him that if the illness came back, this time his chances were reduced significantly. And my uncle's demeanor was different after this visit with the doctor. Like, he was in pain, and he stopped working. He became different. He became a total different person. I had the privilege of spending his last summer with him at his favorite place, which is with his daughter and wife. And I remember the way he invited me to spend the summer with him in his beach house. It was not the first time. Like, since I was like 4 or 5 years old, I spent almost every summer at his beach house, either with him or with my other uncles, where I always was there. But this year was different. He told me, I would like you to come because I don't think if I would be here for much longer. So please come to the beach house with us. So I went, and that was, I think that was the best summer I spent in that place. We laughed, we talked about life, and we had a great time. We really enjoyed it. But I knew there was something different. I knew that he was ready to leave. His words were more of, I'm done, I'm not willing to keep fighting. This is way too much for me. And a couple of months later, he passed. And I know that if the doctor had given him the prognosis in a different way, maybe in a more humane way, he would have fought and maybe defeated the illness. But when those words come from an expert, from a person who you think that knows everything, that has the absolute truth, then you don't have a fighting chance if you really believe the words of the doctor. But in our minds, like, who are we to say the doctor is wrong? The way everything is said in our society is that the experts are always right, and it is not the case. And this is something I've seen in the medical industry. Many doctors come with their scientific minds and give you a final judgment, like, you have 6 months, you have 3 months. And I really wish that doctors were more sensitive and approach these terminal illnesses with a different approach. Again, I'm not saying that every doctor is like that, but at least a good number of the doctors that I know are like that. When people are in a doctor's office, they're really scared. They are vulnerable. So they are waiting to hear the worst news. And then comes a doctor in his white lab coat and tells him, hey, your chances to make it are not that high. And if you don't have a strong mind and you reject the doctor's death sentence, you will probably not make it. Remember that our brains are command centers. And even though the command in this case is coming from the outside, you are giving it a very special meaning because it's coming from an expert. I'm not saying that you should ignore doctor's advices or treatments. I do believe that you need to integrate the doctor's opinions with other elements to help you get better and do not let a negative opinion destroy your hopes. I also have a good friend. She's in her 70s now, and she has suffered a lot because of her son is in prison and he was given a life without parole sentence about 10 years ago. And she and her husband drive over 10 hours each way, twice a month, to see their son. And one day she called me, and as usual, she invited me to go over to her house and have dinner with her and her husband. And I went. It was not something unusual. I used to spend a lot of time with them. So I went and we had dinner and everything was fine. And all of a sudden she said, you know what? I went to the doctor today and he says that I have breast cancer. I mean, I was shocked. I was taken aback, but I immediately recovered and I went to give her strength and offer her my unconditional support. And she thanked me, but she called me saying, I'm fine. This is nothing. I have to keep going, because if I die, then who's going to visit my son? And she had very clear that she couldn't let the illness win. So she immediately started to diet, and she did her chemo and radiation. But through the process, her demeanor was different. She was in a fighting mode. So through the process, she was very strong. She was praying constantly. She was going to church. She had that I'm going to be fine type of behavior. And months later, she was at the hospital. Thanks God, rang in the bell. at that hospital, they have this this bell that once cancer patients survive the illness, they go and they ring the bell as a sign of victory. So here we have another case. We have two cases, same illnesses, but two different outcomes. And you may be asking, how come? Or you might be trying to find a solution. Well, there are two different types of cancers, and I'm not going to go into those details. But what I do believe that make a difference was the approach of both doctors. My friend's doctor knew her situation, so he encouraged her to stay strong. He assured her that she was going to be fine. He told her that she had to stay well and healthy because her son needed her. So the doctor told her how many patients recuperated and today are healthy and live like a regular life. So during those crucial seconds, right after he gave her the bad news, he had the antidote ready to lift her spirit in the midst of all the fear and confusion. This is something that we have to take into consideration. We have a responsibility on how we use our words. Words can have a very lasting impact on people's life, not only in the health area, but also in the development of for example, a child. And there is someone I know. Since I was a kid, his parents got divorced when he was very young. And because of all those issues associated with divorces, he started to do poorly in school. And every time he got home with bad grades, his mother used to shame him and saying that he was stupid, that he wasn't smart enough, that he was going to be a good for nothing like his father, and so on and so forth. And at school, he was deemed a problematic child. According to many professors, he didn't learn like he should. And they saw that he had an antisocial personality. And I remember a particular day we were doing physical education at school, and that day he was being particularly loud and running around and being mischievous. And our PE professor was in his late 50s, and he was like kind of grumpy all the time. So the professor ordered him to stop and to come back into the formation, and he said a couple of things to my friend. And I clearly remember when the professor said under his breath, this is a bad rotten potato. It would be meat for the avocado. The avocado was a prison that was very, very close to the town that I grew up. So he was basically saying, this is a bad child. He's going to end up in prison someday. I'm pretty sure that if I heard the comment, so did my friend, because he was right behind me. And for many days, he was like quiet and sad, like he changed. I do believe that was a turning point in his life. And because he never heard nothing good about him, he believed that he was a bad person, and he believed all those bad things that people were saying about him. I personally believe that he's a great friend, that he's a great human being, but he disagrees with me. So he constantly goes in and out of jail. He's unable to keep a steady job. He became a father at a very young age. And in a way, he has become every single thing that people were saying about him. And I believe that is because he accepted those words. It takes a very strong mind to reject what the world says about you. Not too many people has the capacity to throw in the garbage all the negative feedback when the person knows that what they are saying, that the feedback that he's is getting is not true. So from now on, if you want to give life to a new project, if you are going through a rough time because of an illness or a financial hardship, or if someone is attacking you, choose the right words. Accept those criticisms that will build you up and not tear you down. Be compassionate to others. Remember that words can hurt and have a lasting impact on people's lives. So take a moment to examine yourself. Pay attention to how you have been talking lately and how you are treating others. I hope this episode was helpful, and I hope you enjoy it. And I hope that you join me in our next episode that will be titled Believe in You. So until then, push forward and be kind. Thank you very much.